Hi folks, and thanks for listening to this Tortoise Shack podcast. A little bit of housekeeping before we kick off. I know you want to get to the pod in question, but please hear me out. We need your support. The Tortoise Shack relies entirely on you to pay it forward and keep it free for everyone. The easiest way to do that is click the link that's at the top of the podcast you're about to listen to. It says patreon.com/tortoiseshack. It is the price of a fancy cup of coffee or a cheap pint nowadays, but to us it's mics on, lights on, and the ability to continue to have those conversations that we think you believe adds value. So yes, it's free, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't come at a price. So do me a favor, click the link, have a look around and see if there's something that grabs your attention. You'll be helping us and you'll be giving yourself the gift of not having to listen to these annoying pitches and pleas. Thanks again and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves and folks, this is going to be kind of a two-tier, I'm going to say two-speed podcast because Leo Varadkar, our Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, has decided to resign pretty much with immediate effect. And they're going to do a three-card trick because it's no longer a two-card trick. They're now going to put in the next Fine Gael leader will become the Taoiseach, voted in by with the compliance of Fianna Fáil and the Green Party. Martin, I want to point out before this gets started, there was never any rotating Taoiseach. We had a constitutional expert Owen Daly tell us this a couple of years ago that you have to dissolve the government to reinstall the Taoiseach. Yep. So here we are now in the same Dáil term. We're going to effectively have three governments, which is absolutely insane to me that we're not getting a general election. I think that will get missed today. People will not understand what's actually happening there. It's kind of anti-democratic in my opinion. If you're going,
look, the whole thing about Leo Varadkar was anti-democratic. How we became Taoiseach was anti-democratic. How we retained being Taoiseach was anti-democratic. And now they're looking at it again and saying, let's see what anti-democratic move we can make.
Yeah, okay, but okay, let's get to Leo Varadkar first and foremost. I put a challenge to people, said if you do not start any conversation talking about Leo Varadkar's legacy and you don't begin it with homelessness, well then you're a hagiographer. Then you are literally writing the lovely things about someone, you say the sweet lovely things without actually being honest. His biggest success as Taoiseach and as Taoiseach and back as Taoiseach was overseeing the doubling, in his term, just as Taoiseach, of childhood homelessness, children in homelessness. His biggest success when he was inactive in government was increasing it, Martin, by nearly 600% fold, at least. 650%, I believe, was the most recent thing. If you don't start there, you're not being fair. And he did all this, you got to remember, when he had the strongest economic winds at his back, giving him the strongest growth rates that were the envy of the world, where we were told the Irish economic miracle. And yet, in 2017, when he took office, even then, it was terrible to think that there was 2,000 children homelessness, which we never had, Martin, before the global financial crash. And he managed to double it to over 4,000 in that term. He has done that. That's everything starts and finishes, unfortunately for me, with that. And if you can look beyond that and start somewhere else, well, then you're not actually doing your job as a journalist. It's really disappointing.
You're talking about it as success, and I know you're being wry about it, but yeah, it is failure. It's abject failure. But,
can I make one final point? Because I will play the clip. I'll play the clip now.
It's still a great place to invest and stick with us. Our economy is going to bounce back in the next couple of months as the restrictions are eased. We have great political stability in Ireland. We're very sure about our place in the world in terms of being at the heart of the European Union, the single market, the Eurozone. We have a good relationship with the UK, and we're going to repair that over the next period ahead. And while we can't control what happens in the rest of the world, because we're only a small country, we're very good at surfing the wave of international events. And we'll make sure that Ireland continues to be an attractive place for business.
That is Leo Varadkar telling vulture funds and cuckoo funds, Martin, to stick with us after the pandemic, that Ireland's going to be a great place to invest, that he's going to continue to roll out the red carpet for high rents and returns for them. So it was a success. It was a success for the cohort of people who he gave a fuck about.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And when you look at the likes of Airbnb, which is a temperature gauge of how willing the government of the day is to tackle homelessness in this country. And that's all it is temperature gauge. And they're not completely not willing to tackle illegal lets on short term. So, you know, he has no impetus to, or never did have any impetus. But, you know, what was his actual success? And I don't mean a wry success. I mean, what was his actual success? His success was communication, Tony. And he said it at the very outset. He said, communication is a virtue. And even to the last minute, everything, even this resignation, Fiona Sheehan was out before everybody else to say it's going to be a big announcement. Leo Varadkar's going to resign. So it was all about tipping off the press. His entire reign as probably the most terrible Taoiseach we ever, ever had was about controlling the media, and all his special advisors and everything else that's there was about controlling the media message. Everything was about, and the complicity of the Fourth Estate in that cannot be forgotten, simply cannot. They lauded him from the very beginning. They made him who he was. They made a person who was a paper person into something real. And at the end, he was always just a paper person. There was no depth to him, ever any depth to him. And I hold the Fourth Estate accountable for that. They never held him responsible for anything he did, ever, ever. They gave him a free pass on everything, and it's despicable that they did. Despicable.
I think we'll come to that, but I think what's important to say is I don't know where the focus on the Fourth Estate at the moment comes from, because I'd like to deal with the legacy of a Taoiseach who was on paper, as you said, you know, should have been someone we could have been proud of and gotten behind.
Absolutely.
And said, like, isn't this wonderful? You know, the son of an immigrant, a trained as a doctor, a gay, openly gay man. It was all of these things were really great things that we could say about our country, because there was never any issue around those things. But he never added up to the sum of his parts. And I'm not betraying any confidence to tell you this. You notice, Martin, that that when I remember when Enda Kenny was Taoiseach, that I met with a former minister in Fine Gael at the time. He was who said to me that it would be Leo, that he looked great on a poster. But it does go back to that whole thing that you said around communications and being all style and no substance. And
yeah.
And you know, again, going back to it, you can't start anywhere else but with child homelessness. You can't start anywhere else without homelessness. He constantly tells you who he is. He told us a few weeks ago when he said, okay, we've now hit our target on housing, but we don't want to ramp it up too much. Go back to the clip. That clip that I'm talking about, he was telling Vulture Funds and all the rest of it, stick with us, because they had factored in growth in rents, growth in this, and you can't have those growth in rents and growth in payments if you're going to continue to have, you know, if supply is ramped up at a level whereby it actually cuts into your profits. So like, that's who he was. Think about it. Let's go back even further. When he was in the Department of Health, he said extra beds will slow down. Will make, nurses will be lazier if they get extra resources.
Well, his whole thing is keep them to the grindstone the whole time. Keep them to the grindstone. And the prosperity we've come through, Tony, the money they have in the bank, and I've said it all along, it's not surplus. It's money they just haven't spent where they needed to spend it.
Yeah, but think what made him famous? What assured him the leadership of Fine Gael?
Media.
No.
No, I think you're completely wrong about that. I think you're completely wrong about it.
His party loved them. What?
No, his party. No. His party didn't love him.
No, they did.
And he snuck the election as Taoiseach. He snuck it.
Snuck it. It was over. The campaign was launched on a Tuesday morning, I believe, on Leo Street in Dublin 7, with cupcakes with Pascal Donoghue.
Right.
And it was over by 9:30. Even poor old Simon Coveney was having a press conference at 12 o'clock, and it was already over because Leo had got all of the parliamentary party, enough of it behind him, whereby the actual membership, the ordinary membership, their vote didn't count.
That's right. So he snuck it. He snuck it. It was anti-democratic.
That's, like, you could say it's anti-democratic. Sinn Féin appointed people by different things. They all use different things. I don't really care. I don't care. I'm pushing back and saying to you, what made him their guy was when he stood with that billboard that said, welfare cheats cheat us all.
Oh, yeah. And you have to come back to that. That's how he started his election campaign, was welfare cheats cheat us all. And you know, a nod to the lads from the ditch and a nod to everybody else who has done these stories. He was a cheater. I mean, his moniker is Leo the Leak. I mean, he was a cheater. And there's no doubt about it. He cheated. You know, I think for somebody that had great promise, that came out with great promise, I do remember all the fluff pieces because I took issue with them at the time when he was first made Taoiseach. I went, he doesn't deserve these accolades. He certainly doesn't.
I think it was your friend Regina Doherty who said he was the most accomplished politician of our age. Let's imagine she's true. That's true. And then say, put that beside the list of his achievements. He's lost 5 by-elections. He's lost referendums. He's got wiped out in locals. And he has reduced the number of Fine Gael TDs at every election that he stood in, to the point where now, even now, what are they down? 15 are no longer standing in the upcoming one.
I thought that was amusing, I suppose, is the word, is that he's been out for the last 3-4 months telling people you cannot resign, you must commit to the party, all of this guff. And then he does exactly what he said the rest of them not to do.
Yeah.
Just does it. But that's typical him. It's typical.
Just again, going back to the another failure, huge failure, and it's a lack of empathy in the guy. It's the how we see now the weaponization of immigration, and we see how it's become this horrible, toxic debate within our country when it shouldn't have been. It leans into Leo Varadkar's entire tenure in how he said, first of all, he said after the crash that we should pay jobless migrants to leave. Get them out.
Yeah.
You know, even though they were here building the country, helping us get the economy going, he said pay them to leave. Then he came in and he said, well, you know, direct provision isn't perfect, but it's better than tents. Then he said, well, not all of them are in tents. And then he said, throw out them fucking tents, right? So that's and all of that has given succor to the far right gobshites who say, we're not far right, we're just right so far, blah, blah, blah. And you go, and he has given succor to that argument, Martin, with his outburst.
Well, I think even more so. I think it's even more obvious than that, Tony, is that it suited government to have that narrative there because it deflects from the government's failures on housing. So they're quite happy to have migrants blamed for housing as long as it deflects from them. And Leo Varadkar could have any time stood up and said, I'm a migrant.
Mm.
Fuck off. But he never did. Never once.
Well, he did. He spoke a little bit about his background in recent months because it became to the point where it became so toxic where you had arson being carried out on things that he never spoke out of before. Because you remember, the arson didn't just start this year. It didn't just start last year. It's been going on. It's been going on about 5 years now. But he didn't really care because they were talking about, you know, He gave interviews around direct provision saying that, you know, if you don't like it, just leave. You know, all of...
I think Constantine had them kind of nailed down in his general view of governments of the West. It was a do-nothing government. It was achieve-nothing government. It was had no goals. It had no ambition other than to survive.
Yeah, but I think if you read that or you listen to the conversation we had with Constantine, what he made clear is they did achieve what they wanted. They did have goals and did have ambitions, but it was only for a very limited cohort of people. So it was in Ireland, it was the case of the tax servicing industry. So the industries that service our tax avoidance network, the people who work in the tax avoidance network, and the multinationals that give their money to the tax avoiding networks. Right, that's what he said. And as a managerial class, or you're probably better off calling them a parasitic class, to be honest with you, because they live off the rest of us then, because that's what happens.
That's right.
And he's been a success for them. That doesn't, but it also shows that even when we had all that money, he didn't have the wherewithal to give it out. So even before he decided to resign, he was talking only yesterday about, I'm going to relook at payments for people with disabilities and carers. This is the guy who, when COVID hit, gave the pandemic unemployment payment. And go back and look at the figures on the CSO, on the standards of living the day-to-day put out. During COVID, many people with disabilities and people who are carers, they struggled. Obviously, they had additional costs, but the actual fact that they went from 240 up to 350 was a big deal for many of them. And actually, inequality and deprivation rates fell. But since then, he went straight back to, oh, well, you know, get back down to the lower rung, you know.
The undeserving poor, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And every time since, deprivation rates have gone up. Now, they've gone up extraordinarily in the last 12 months, Martin. They've gone, you know, they were like, they're and I've got to be very careful here. They've gone up even after social transfers in the range of 6 or 7%, which is extraordinary. You're only usually seeing, you know, 1%, 0.5%. This is extraordinary. And this is his legacy. Before we, again, homelessness, inequality, deprivation, the housing crisis, high rents, record rents, banks that are making huge profits without doing anything.
Yeah.
Untaxed banks that are making huge profits without doing anything. And then all of that on through the framework of the biggest budget surplus we've ever had, and we can't have anything in terms of infrastructure. We can't have anything.
No, you can't have anything nice, as we say, yeah. Tony. No, you can't. No, he was the shoulda, coulda, woulda, but didna Taoiseach. And he had every advantage that other Taoiseachs haven't had for decades. He had all those advantages, but he didn't have the capacity to use it. And I think that's really what we've seen, is that you took a private school boy, you put him on a pedestal, you said he's the right person, and he turned out, no, he wasn't. He was fucking awful, awful. You're talking about legacies, Tony. You're talking about homelessness. You're talking about deprivation. But I think in the overall view of things, what will his legacy be as Taoiseach? And will it be deprivation? Will it be homeless? No, I think he'll be the Taoiseach who could have and didn't. Yeah. And I think that's what he'll be remembered for.
Isn't it funny? I hang that all at Pascal's door, the fact that we took a decade of loads and loads and loads of money that we could have borrowed for negative interest rates. We could have done things that we should have done. And I always hang that on Pascal's door. But you're right. Ultimately, if Leo had the unction of, say, even a mad corrupt bastard like Charlie Haughey to say, shut up, you were doing it. Shut up, you, we're doing it.
He wasn't actually a leader as such.
No,
you know,
no.
He depended way too much on focus groups, on opinion polls. Sometimes when you lead, you just have to lead. You have to know what the right thing is in your heart, and you have to go for it. But I don't think he ever knew what the right thing was.
I agree. I actually think, you got to remember, back in his college days, he was known as a guy who thought Atlas Shrugged was the best book around. So that's Ayn Rand's neoliberal atomization, no such thing as society kind of thing. And he never really ventured too far from that when you think, well, you know, he went from, you know, he was against abortion. He said abortion is just like women going traveling for abortion. It's like lads going off to Vegas for the weekend. He said,
and I know you say that, but you know, in his overall legacy, that won't be remembered.
No, but because in the end of it, he was on the right side of history when he supported repeal.
the last man across the line.
Yeah,
is what I say.
Yeah, I agree with you, but he still, you know, it was like, you know, I said, what was it? Failures and orphans, successes, many fathers. There, we know he certainly.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question because, you know, I don't believe for a second that Leo Varadkar went to the US, had an epiphany, and came back and resigned. I don't believe that for a second. I believe he was in front of Joe Biden only 2 days ago. He had the opportunity to call out what was happening in Gaza. If he knew he was resigning then, if he knew, then there was absolutely nothing to stop him. And in fact, from a political point of view, if you know you're going to resign, that's when you do the big speech. That's when you leave as the big politician. He didn't. So that leads me to believe he didn't know he was going to resign before he came back. So what's happened? Where's the other shoe dropping?
Two things. I think that's a really good observation. You made that point actually on the Sunday show we did with Sam. You made that point where you said if he had wanted to be known as a statesman, this was his opportunity. This was his opportunity. He got a lot of credit in parts of the world where saying anything bad about America is considered really ballsy, but he didn't really go anywhere near where we thought we would have liked him to go. But I think it's interesting. So I'll give you a laugh, right? I've obviously been on the phones, you've been on the phones. There's the usual rumour mills about, you know, an imminent scandal going to drop. Personally, I don't want any scandals to drop in terms of anybody's, like, I kind of like this. You notice, Martin, that there's no, you know, tittle-tattle.
I think it's funny that we all assume there's a scandal going to drop. And it's not that we can all go, it's that scandal over there. It's because there are so many scandals at his feet. But any one of them could take him down.
I'm talking about tittle-tattle nonsense. You know, like,
I don't know if that's ever going to get any purchase, even.
I agree with you because you gave about the media there a minute ago, and you've with good points, absolutely. But one thing they don't do is they don't lean into the, you know, that kind of, you know, I can point to several TDs I know who've gone through messy divorces, but you don't have to read about it, okay?
No, and I don't. I think, you know, the more I think about it, I don't think that there's a kind of tittle-tattle scandal that could bring him down.
But the other is, someone was saying that obviously they reckon he's gotten, because he's very, very good pals with the Attorney General, Russell Fanning, and Russell Fanning seemed to be concerned about something in Washington. And the speculation, again, was that, you know, he might lose the case on SIPO that Paul Murphy took, and that might really.
But is it that even enough?
I don't think it's enough. Tell you why that's not enough, by the way, and no one will care, because I genuinely believe Paddy Cosgrave could find a video of Leo Varadkar kicking orphans, and it wouldn't be enough because we'd go, fuck off, Paddy, you're just a prick, right?
Well, I have to say, my first thought when I heard he was resigning was he must have gotten a job clubbing baby seals to death. That was my first thought. I mean, what could drag him away from that, you know? And I thought, well, clubbing baby seals would be right up his fucking avenue. And I did. I honestly thought, because I think quite badly of him.
So can you say then that, like, first of all, did you watch his speech when he resigned?
I was very, very ill this morning, so I didn't. I've watched it back since.
There was an interesting moment where I thought the most interesting point from my point of view anyway was when he said, you know, and I know this will be a disappointment to some people. And then he smiled with a bit of emotion, which is not like him. And he said, and I know some people will not be too disappointed. And I thought,
okay, let's just eye down the road. Four contenders so far in the ring: Simon Harris, Coveney, Heather Humphries, and who else did they put in the ring?
Helen McEntee.
Wow, what a fucking shallow pool. Honestly, what a shallow pool to have to choose from.
Can we before we get to that, can we just go real quickly? Did he get anything right, Martin?
As you said, for the particular class of people that see him as aspirational, for them, but they're very, very small minority in Ireland. So did he actually get anything right on a national level, on a state level? No, he did not. Not one thing.
And that's where we leave it, folks. If you'd like to hear the full podcast, it's available now on patreon.com/tortoiseshack, along with a ton of additional content, lots and lots of exclusives, and all of our podcasts in one consolidated feed, so you never miss an episode. They're all in one place, and they're entirely plea-free. So we'd love you to come on board. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. Thanks for sharing, liking, and subscribing, and leaving reviews. And we will talk to you all very, very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.